Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic. I am so happy for the guest I have today because she is a beautiful and talented actress whose performance in an independent film, I have to tell you, just blew my mind. And the film was called Nova. And when I saw it, I said, I have to get in touch with her and have her on the show because she... Just so you know, when you see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Her work speaks for itself. She has also starred in several other projects, including a television series called Austin High. Please welcome the amazing Juliet Chevelle to the show. Juliet, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
It is an honor to have you. It really is. And I am curious, okay, where did you grow up and what kind of a kid were you?
That's a great question. So I grew up in Austin, Texas. This is home for me. It's funny because Austin has become very popular over the last couple of years.
And sure has.
It's been incredible to see so many people come here. But I'll introduce myself and say, hi, I'm from here. And they say, oh, you're a unicorn. I'm like, I guess so. This is home for me. I'm from here. And what kind of kid was I? I was definitely an actor kid, but I never acted.
So okay, right.
I was the kid who had three imaginary friends and was always playing and dancing and performing in front of my family. Definitely kind of that creative child. But so I was homeschooled and we didn't have a TV. My parents chose to keep kind of that out of my life and let me stay a kid. And so whenever my friends weren't home from school yet and my older siblings were away, I would go outside in the backyard, and we had these two palm trees that were really, really small when we moved in, and they kind of grew up with me. And in Austin, it's super hot. And so I'd go out there and get under their shade, and I would create all these different types of stories, and I would write my own characters and act them out and, you know, just play all sorts of games. And at the time, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know that I was acting or writing. I didn't have really words for that. I just was being me. I was just creating and seeing what I could get to come to life.
I love that. You were definitely born for it. There's no doubt in my mind. So I guess the follow-up question would be, which is pretty obvious, what got you into acting? I'm going to say it's just yourself.
Well, it's funny. That's kind of a long story because I didn't start acting until a couple of years ago professionally.
Incredible. I find that so hard to believe based on your talent level, but go ahead, continue.
Well, thank you. So I kind of had this part as part of my past, right? I always, you know, had a very active imagination, but I grew up as a sports kid and I was playing volleyball and soccer and I was swimming competitively and I was doing all sorts of, you know, athletic endeavors. And I knew that I loved acting and performing, but when I would ask my parents, like, hey, can I join a drama class? They were like, Juliet, you're dramatic enough. You don't need lessons.
I love that. Good answer.
Yeah, I know. Like, great one, mom and dad. Thanks. But on top of that, it was before kind of the Me Too movement and a lot of that stuff. And so I'm actually very grateful for them keeping me out of it because they were doing their best to protect me. And,
right.
I absolutely love that they made that call. But I had that love for it and that passion just by myself. And the moment I had access to, you know, a pen and paper, I started writing my own stories and kind of working on novels and different things like that. But I was swimming competitively by the time I was in middle school and high school and had my sights set on collegiate swimming. And with that takes so much time that there's really not very much room for anything else. I was swimming, you know, up to 35 hours a week at one point and also being a full-time student. And so it just wasn't really on the table as an option. There were two things that happened that kind of springboarded me into the path that I am walking on right now. The first thing was I was a mega geek. I mean, nerd, geek, whatever you want to call it. Absolutely loved, you know, everything from Marvel to DC to Supernatural to The Walking Dead to, like, that was speaking my language. And so,
which makes you badass, by the way, but go ahead, continue.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love it. I own it. But yeah, I decided to go to San Diego Comic-Con with my best friend. We got tickets and we decided we wanted to cosplay because, I mean, come on, you're going to San Diego Comic-Con and you're not going to cosplay? No, no way.
I know what you dressed as. I know who you dressed as because I've seen the pictures, but tell, please tell.
Well, you know, the first year we wanted something different. We went as two Quicksilvers, the one from the MCU and then the one from kind of the X-Men, the both renditions. My best friend at the time was getting into FX makeup, and we decided, okay, well, let's do the Quicksilver from the MCU with the bullet holes, right? Like, he's been killed already, spoiler alert. But and so we went, and it was a blast. But we were 14 at the time. We were very young and kind of just big wide eyes looking around going, this is so awesome. These are our people. And it was an incredible experience. And so the next year we decided to go back and we said, okay, well, you know, we're 15 now, right? So we need to step up our game. And we kind of did some research. We wanted to go as a dynamic duo of some sort. And we knew we loved Marvel. So we were kind of scouring, looking around, saying, okay, what can we go as? And that something that also includes FX makeup, because we wanted to keep that element in there. And I looked at her and I was like, what about a Mystique in transition? And we were like, okay, that sounds awesome. And then we're like, okay, well, what can we pair her with? I mean, you're 15 and have brown hair and you're 5'10". I'm not sure you'd sell as a Professor X. So let's see, what else could you do? Oh, okay. Why don't we do the female Magneto and Mystique in transition? And so that's what we ended up doing. And her mom were fantastic. They whipped up the cosplays in like 2 months, which with all the detail work is, yeah, if you've ever cosplayed, it's really, that was very, very fast.
Right.
They did an incredible job.
They sure did.
And so we went that first year, I guess at this point it's the second year that we've been, but it's the first year we're cosplaying as Magneto and Mystique. And we had never actually put the costumes on until we got to the hotel. So this was Thursday morning. We said, all right, we've got everything. We know that it works, but now it's time to actually put it on and see how this all turned out. And we put it on and we went, okay, this is kind of cool. This came together better than we thought it was going to, but we'll see, you know, like, we think it's good, but who knows? So we get in the elevator of our hotel and we go down to the lobby and we walk out. And we couldn't get out of there for 45 minutes.
Because everybody wanted photos.
Pictures.
Yep.
Yes. We were trapped. We looked at each other and we were like, what the heck is happening right now? Right? Like, you know, again, we're 15. So we're going, what just happened? We are just, you know, here to have fun. And everybody is loving this rendition of this cosplay. You know, what does that mean? And how do we react to that? But the whole experience was just awesome. It was fantastic. It was fantastic being able to be there and have that reaction and see how people responded to just creativity and art. And to be able to do it with her was amazing. And our parents were there. And that was so special.
Wheels turning.
Yeah, exactly. We went home. The next year, we're like, okay, are we going to do it again? We went, well, maybe we should. We got tickets, but maybe the cosplay is like, you know, we did it last year. Maybe we need to do something new. And we're like, no, like, we really liked that. It was super fun. Maybe it's going to be a little bit old, but, you know, who knows? Let's do it again. But what happened is because the last year it had gone viral, people knew about it. People had seen it before. And so instead of having a reaction that we kind of wondered might happen, like, oh yeah, cool, we've seen you guys, it was like, oh my gosh, we've seen you. Can we get a picture? Right.
Yeah.
And it actually made it more of a, it gathered more attention because of that as well. And that was the year that the Associated Press got a hold of us, and they asked if we would like to do a photo shoot. And we said, yes, please. Right?
Why, yes.
And went up to the studio they had set up at Comic-Con and shot in between two different series from Netflix. You know, you have, like, actors passing us, and we're, at this point, we're 16. We're going, like, oh, my gosh, is that fill in the blank celebrity? What is going on? and so we got our picture taken, and we woke up the next morning, and they had sold it to a lot of different publications, and one of them was The Guardian, and they had published it as one of the top 10 photos of the week. And so we were just looking at our phones going, and we're in India, and we're in China, and we're in, you know, Quebec, and we're in, you know, like, what is happening right now? Again, another kind of moment where we were going, who knew this was going to happen? This is insane.
Yeah.
So came home from that, and each one of those experiences was very impactful for me, because at the time I was swimming competitively still, and I was on the track to, I wanted to go into medicine and be either a nurse or a physician assistant, and kind of was gearing up for that. I was taking all the right classes. I was volunteering with St. David's. I was definitely, like, in that track. But I was at the convention each summer and going, like, these are my people.
Right.
This is what I love. Why am I not walking down this path? It's not that I don't like medicine anymore. It's just, this is calling to my spirit in a way that medicine doesn't, in a way, right? And so that really got those thoughts going on what happens if I never try this, right?
Like, right.
Who am I if I don't follow this love that I have for this?
Wow.
And then that's kind of the first thing that was going on. And then the second thing that happened was I was getting into my junior year, and I was about to start talking to colleges and getting into that. And several colleges had come to watch and were interested. And then I sustained a career-ending injury. And like 20 days later, COVID hit. And so it was this moment where, you know, everything's moving forward and you're climbing the mountain, and then you slide all the way back to the bottom.
Right.
And you're sitting there and you're going, okay, well, plan B, anyone?
Right.
I'm very grateful for the experience, because I got time to think and process, and I still had this burning desire to act. It was like having a match that had been struck as a child, and then you're trying to, you know, put it out and it won't go out. So then you, like, shove it in a drawer, and then the drawer starts smoking, right? And you
go, yeah. Okay.
I can't do that. You know, you pull the match back out and you put it, you know, under the covers of a bed, and the bed catches on fire. You know, I could never get rid of it. I could never forget about it or put it out.
And I get it. I think in your case, it was divine intervention. I really do. I think there were gifts that came out of that, pointing you in the direction you were meant to go.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I kind of took a moment. I said, okay, all right, like, I'm going to live with a lot of regret if I don't ever try this. And so this is going to be my path forward. And that was the start of my career.
Unbelievable.
Kind of springboarding from those two main points.
And then you're auditioning for this film that comes up called Nova, which, by the way, I'm going to say it again to anybody listening. She is phenomenal. You got to see this film. And I believe it's on Tubi. So watch it. You can go watch it today. But I want to ask, so you get this audition, what was your audition like, and what was it like playing this, I think we can say this, android?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much for your kind words. It really means a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're from sincerity. So you deserve it.
Thank you. So the audition for Nova was interesting because it was the first in-person audition I ever completed. I had done several self-tapes, and I had done one live audition via Zoom. But besides that, I had never been in front of anybody and performed or auditioned. And so it was a kind of a situation where you're going, well, I've done what I can do. I've prepared. I got a callback for it. So I did do the self-tape and then I went in for the callback. So I did kind of have a little bit more confidence around the character and having a little bit more experience. But it was a great experience. Dana Cowden is she's so talented. She's so kind. The whole team was amazing, both in the audition and in the production. But it's a strange experience to walk into a room and see a bunch of versions of you sitting there.
Right.
That's an experience I'd never had before. And I think is pretty unique to the entertainment industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it was a great experience. And I honestly, I didn't think I booked it. I thought I didn't do well. They, you know, had me do different reads and try out a few different characters. And when I walked out of there and I got in the car and my mom was with me and I was like, well, I think that was a great learning experience. Here are the things that I've gathered from that, but I don't think I got it. And, you know, well, but we're going to move on to the next one. And then I got a call a couple days later and I was like, who, me? Oh, okay.
It was well deserved. It was well deserved. I will say that. I've seen this film. You stole it. I know you did. I know the minute you started reading, they were like, yep, there's Nova.
Well, thank you.
And it's so well done. I mean, well, clearly I'm also not surprised because the casting was fantastic, in my humble opinion. And you're working with one of my heartbeats when I lived in New York City, Miss Skye Strachey, who I love with all my heart. I have to say, like, what was it like playing off of Skye, who's kind of, you know, not so wholesome, we'll say, in the film, maybe like your evil-ish counterpart. What was it like working together?
Skye, oh my gosh, I love Skye. She is incredible. She's such a sweetheart. She's so bright inside and out. She's so dedicated to her craft. It's really, really cool to watch. And it was such fun playing off of that.
Yeah.
As you know, coming in as an antagonist, you really do have to own that. And if you don't own that, other actors can't play off of it. And she just did a phenomenal job of owning her character and being dedicated to it. And, you know, the production was asking her to do things and she wouldn't even blink. She was like, absolutely.
That's her.
Yeah, it really is. If you know her. Yeah.
Yes.
But she was incredible to work with and it was such a blast. And she's just, I love her. She's awesome.
I know she's listening. So we both love you so much, Skye. So shout out to Skye. What were some of your challenges playing this role?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Honestly, I've got to say probably imposter syndrome. I was 18. I turned 18 on the day we started filming. And again, like I said, didn't really have very much experience. I think I had probably 8 acting lessons, like individual lessons, not courses, but lessons under my belt.
I'm angry at you, Julia. You performed that kind of role at 18 years old with 8 acting lessons. That is, that makes me so angry because you're so talented so naturally. That's insane. I did not know that, but please continue.
Thank you. So it was interesting because, you know, the whole process of being an actor, right? A lot of what you have to learn is what's your process, right? How do you function as a human being and your emotional range? And then how do you tap into that to be able to play a different character and be somebody other than yourself, right? So you really do have to have a good understanding of what you're working with. And at the time, obviously, I'd probably been acting for about 4 months from the time that I said, okay, I'm going to act. It had been about probably 4 to 6 months. And so stepping into that, there was a lot of new things being thrown my way, like shooting scenes out of order, right? Or just what's a law, right?
Right. No, yeah, absolutely.
Out of sound work. But I would say that, first of all, again, Dana Cowden is phenomenal, and I felt so supported as an artist, as a human being, as a young female in the industry. And so I knew that I had a solid team who was backing me up, and then I knew I could trust my director to point me in the right direction if I got off course. I knew I could trust the filmmakers to do their job as well as they do. And that my job was just to prepare as well as I could and bring everything I had to it. And I think it was something like 200 lines total, because it's the title character. So
yeah,
it was pretty much every scene all the time.
First acting role, lead in a feature.
Right. And we shot it in 10 days. So
wait, what? Yeah. I was not told this information. That's insane.
Yes, it was. Wow. It was very fast.
I am in awe of that because it's so good. It's like 10 days that I'm okay. That's going to take me a minute to process. So please continue.
Yeah, I know. It took me a minute too. We were moving super fast. But at the same time, the scenes didn't feel rushed. Dana did a great job and just organizing it so everybody was on the same page and figuring out how to make it work. And so it wasn't like we were scattered all over the place. Quite the opposite. It felt very, you know, organized and structured. And I'm sure, you know, behind the scenes, the crew was figuring things out and solving problems, you know, as they came up and just trying to hold it together. But from the outside, you know, looking in and as talent, we were all a very close cast and crew, and everybody did their job phenomenally, and it made it so that our workflow was fantastic. And so we did shoot it in that short of a time. When I say that, I'm not, it wasn't rushed. It wasn't crazy or scattered or, you know, anything like that. It was very, very well done. And it was an excellent introduction as the first film to be in. I'd never spoken on camera before that point either. And so kind of I was entering this as, all right, you know, I'm as green as they come, right? This is a baptism of fire, of what's the phrase?
Baptism by fire. Baptism by yeah, fire. Absolutely. Yeah,
baptism by fire of learning. And it was fantastic because of that, because it's like, okay, you're going to learn everything really, really quickly. It's very condensed, but you really get a hold of it because you're not doing it over the course of a year or 2 years in just little tiny spurts. It's like, I learned very quickly, okay, how does production work? How is all this functioning? Okay, what's my position? How can I help? What's the best, you know, set etiquette, all those things that I did know some of previously going in, and I had researched and I had done the work to kind of be the best version of myself. But there's a lot that you're going to learn as you know, talent on your first production.
Absolutely.
No matter how well you prepare. And all of that was, I'm grateful that I learned it that fast and that quickly with such a supportive and kind and caring cast and crew.
And it's true. It's everything you said is 100% on point. And I think you also have, you're a humble individual. I can say this, I can tell, but you also have that X factor. And I think that's a term that is overused, but it's true in your case. You truly do have that X factor where you've got it and you light up the screen when you come on and you bring it because you have that natural talent. So all the elements are there, and I'm not surprised. I am surprised it took only 10 days. I'm shocked that was 10 days, but I'm not surprised how well done it was, because it was clearly cast perfectly.
Well, thank you very much. I agree. I think Dana did a fantastic job. The producers were all fantastic. It was a great first project to be on, and I'm very grateful to have been a part of it.
It's just, it blows my mind that was your first film and you did that in 10 days. That should just, that's a little preview of how your career is going to go. Because if that's your starting point, my God, is your star shining bright.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what was also really nice about it too, Brian, is that if you think about the character of Nova, and this isn't a spoiler, but
yeah,
she's an android and she gets the ability to start feelings.
Yes.
And that, if you think about that character, if you compare that to an actor coming in as an individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
The worst acting that you can do, you're going to look robotic.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the better you get and the more relaxed you get, the more human you're going to look.
Right.
Right?
So true.
So it was a fantastic first character to play as well, on screen, that is, because anything, any learning curves that I had, I knew that Nova was going to catch me. And that...
Well said. Very well said.
Thank you. It really was a... it felt like going with training wheels on, you know, like I'm going to bring everything that I have to this, but at some point, obviously I'm new to this. So I only know so much and I'm going to make mistakes. I know that my job is to trust my director, trust my, you know, our crew, and then focus on myself and say, I've done everything I can. I've memorized all I can. I've done all the character work and I feel confident in the character. After that, my job is just to be, you know, as the title character, right? You are setting an environment on set for sure. Your leaders on set are setting it. Your cast is setting it. And so you say, okay, how can I be a reflection of kindness and respect and be a light on set so that everybody else is feeling that too? And then, you know, having that whole mentality wrapped up with the fact that, and my character is going to catch me in the way that it's a perfect first character to learn on was a very calming experience. And so it wasn't very stressful. I could trust the process and really just dive headfirst into it and come out the other side.
And you sure did. You hit a home run right out of the park, but you said that so eloquently and so beautifully. So you summed that up perfectly.
Well, thank you.
I have to ask you, you got any dream roles out there? Any parts that you see and you're like, yeah, I want to play that?
You know, I'm not sure I have a specific role in mind, but okay. I would love to work on James Cameron's Avatar or nice. The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I could totally see you in either one for sure, or both.
I'm a huge fan of both. I'm a huge fan of the, you know, Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni, James Cameron, just the creatives behind those stories. I love what they're doing with those storylines and with the creativity, and I'd love to be involved. But I honestly think in terms of a dream role, for me, characters are characters, and the fun part of it is figuring out their point of view, right? Because for them, they think everything they do is justified. So I have to be able to own that too and say, yeah, everything I'm doing is justified, whether I'm a hero or a villain. And so I think dream role, I've always kind of had a hard time answering that question because I think every single role is kind of a dream role in a way.
Boom. So well said.
New characters.
That you couldn't find a better answer than that. That what a great answer that was. Every role is a dream role. I love that so much. I'm going to throw some DC at you. I think you would be a kick-ass Batgirl. I'm saying it right here, right now. I could totally see you just nailing Batgirl.
I'll take it. I'll write that down.
Yes. DC, are you listening? Because you need to bring this girl in for a read. I'm just saying.
Let's do it.
Do you have, I mean, I know you've kind of dipped your feet into some other things, but do you have a preference? Do you like TV? Do you like film? Have you done theater? Do you gravitate toward one or do you like it all?
Honestly, I like it all. I think they're all very different forms of art and you have to view it that way.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, distinguishing the difference between oil painting versus watercolor versus charcoal, right?
There you go.
You're an artist in every single situation, but you're dealing with different mediums and you have to understand each to really be able to deliver well in each. But I really do. My experience is mainly in film. I've done some television. I love television for the fact that there's the ability to have such depth in it that you just oftentimes can't achieve with a film. I love all the details and the world building and the character development that you can have when you have a series that is, you know, runs for multiple seasons. So I have a love for that. I'm trained in Meisner, so I love theater. I really enjoy that experience of kind of a one take.
Yeah.
You put a lead all on the stage. I did one play in high school and I didn't have a fantastic experience. I kind of walked away from it. This is when I was still swimming and on track for medicine. And I walked away from that experience going, you know, I like acting, but I'm not sure that's for me. Obviously, times have changed, but I would love to get more involved in theater, but I don't have as much experience in that, but I have ultimate respect for it, for sure.
You don't have time. Let me tell you, I heard before we went on air what this girl has going on, and trust me, she does not have time for theater right now. You are very busy. And I'm also not shocked that you're a writer because you surmise things so well. So have you written something that eventually you would like to produce possibly?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay. So I am a writer. I have nothing that's like sitting on my shelf yet, but I am currently writing, I'm writing a short film that's based kind of in the late 1800s. I'm writing a female-led Western feature.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
I'm writing right now it's 6-part, but it may go up or down a book. It's a 6-part sci-fi book series, kind of sci-fi fantasy genre. So nothing kind of aligned up yet, but soon to be.
It's going to happen, Juliet. I'm letting you know. I can feel it. It's going to happen. So keep doing that because I feel it with you. You're going to do it all. I can totally see you behind the camera, in front of the camera. Trust me, you got this.
Thank you. I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw you for a total loop and ask you something completely off subject, but I ask everybody this, okay?
Okay.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience or something you couldn't explain? And it's okay if you haven't.
Ooh.
First of all, okay. Lay it on me.
Yeah. You know, just some little things throughout the years. You know, I'm a believer and a follower of Jesus. And
yes,
I am definitely.
I am as well.
Oh, fantastic. That's awesome. There's stuff that happens to you, you know, where you kind of say, what was that? Right. That doesn't normally happen. That's abnormal. That's paranormal. That's, you know, and so there have been quite a few of those things over the years that have happened that, you know, I have no explanation for other than, you know, if you want to say it's coincidence, I understand that. If you want to say it's something greater, I'm on board.
I like that. Very well. See, again, you said it well. Tell me about Austin High.
Yes, Austin High. Oh, that's a fun one. So this is why I'm such a big proponent of saying yes.
Yeah.
When it, you know, with the caveat that it fits within your morals and values, just say yes to, especially at the beginning of your career. Austin High, originally, I was not part of the original ensemble cast for that. I had a friend from acting class who reached out and she said, you know, she was part of this film as a side character, probably a co-star. I'm not sure if she had any lines or not. But she reached out. She said, hey, I can no longer do this project. I'm heading out of town, but would you be interested in getting connected with production? I said, absolutely. You know, I kind of thought about it. I'm like, well, non-speaking, well, how much is it? You know, you could ask yourself those questions as an artist. But I was like, you know what? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. If I can help out, I'd love to help out. So we shot the first episode and I was that character. Maybe the second episode as well. It's been a little bit, but we kind of wrapped on that because it was kind of a proof of concept, those first couple episodes. And then I got a call like 6 months later, maybe it might have even been a year. And they went, okay, so here's the deal. We got more of a budget. We are going to go back and do the whole series. And the older sister character, we lost the actress because she's in college now. She's moved away and she doesn't have availability. And so we're wondering if you'd be interested in being the older sister character, because again, we're going from episode one all the way through. So continuity wise, it'll work. And I was like, well, let's do it. Absolutely. I'm on board. And so we shot those episodes all the way through. And then they went on to make a second season. And I'm very good friends with those people now. And I'm actually working with that actress, Trinity Johnson, on another short here in town with some people that we know and have in common. And so for me, it was just a big lesson on, you know, saying yes, going to learn, going for the experience, and then doing, you know, bring your best to the table, and people will recognize it, and you'll get opportunities that you didn't have access to before. That's kind of the story of how I got involved with that. It was a super fun project, and I'm grateful for all that happened.
Wow. Again, you have the right perspective and outlook, and it's wonderful how one project can lead to, you know, a family environment, and then you end up working with these people repeatedly, and then new projects pop up. That's what I love about the industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have to ask you, what are some of your hobbies / interests outside of the acting world?
I am a stickler for anything movement-based. So, again, I'm coming from an athletic background, so
yeah,
that kind of fits. But, I love everything from sand volleyball to pickleball to barrel racing and bareback work and training and swimming. And, you know, I run 5Ks and two-step. It's all about movement over here.
Wow.
And then just writing and reading and learning. I love health, nutrition, and wellness, and just for, you know, expanding my mind to new possibilities and new information. I love it. I can't ever get enough.
That's incredible. You do. You exude such a positive energy and a zest for life that it's refreshing. It really is. And so I'm not surprised you're so dynamic and stay so active.
Well, thank you. And you do as well.
Thank you.
You radiate positivity and encouragement. And it's just such a joy to watch. It's so wonderful to meet people like that. They brighten your day, and they stay with you even after you hang up.
Amen, my friend. Amen. So well put. I have to ask you, who are some of your personal, you know, influences in the business? Is there an actor or actress that you look at and say, yeah, really love their work? Does it help shape your work? Is there anybody that you can think of that stands out?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I think for me, story has always actually been my influence.
Wow, I love that. Love that answer. Go ahead. Continue with this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you. We didn't have a TV in the home because my parents wanted me to really be kind of exploring and creating on my own. And I listened to a lot of audiobooks, and I read a ton of books. And the films that I did watch were very specific, you know, Lord of the Rings and Iron Man 1 and Avatar, and these things that shaped my love for story, and more specifically, the films that had world building that was larger than just the story. They stood alone very well, but they weren't necessarily standalones. They hinted at a larger universe that wanted to be discovered, right? And so for me, the stories that I loved and watched and listened to were super inspiring. I think those are the things that shaped my love for story and my passion for acting. And of course, I have, you know, lots of names that come into mind when you say, you know, talented actors and actresses who have held those stories together and pushed them forward and made them what they were. You know, Viggo Mortensen and Zoe Saldana and all those names. But I think for me, it really goes back to the story that they were telling. And that's, for me, what was so impactful.
Wow. What a great answer. I don't think anybody has ever answered it with that particular response before. So well said. See, you're such a writer. You truly are. You're a very creative force.
It gets me in trouble sometimes.
I have to ask you, let's talk about some of your upcoming projects. What is happening in your world? The ones, of course, that you can talk about.
Yeah. So, I have a short film in kind of doing this festival circuits right now called Who Invited the Robot, and that'll be out in the near future for viewing. And then kind of winter/spring, a feature I worked on with Dana Cowden, same director for Nova. It's called Arias Project, and that's going to be coming out as well. I just wrapped on Vindication, season 4, which is a series that's on several different streaming platforms. Amazon is one of them, and that's as a recurring, and hopefully we'll be coming back to film the second half of season 4. And then I'm slated to film a sci-fi feature next year, kind of towards the beginning of the year. So a lot of balls that are juggling, but I'm grateful for all of them. And then when I have a minute or two, I sit down and I try to write and get my own projects out there. So it's a lot going on, but it's a whole lot of fun, and very blessed to be able to do it.
The queen of sci-fi. You have a few sci-fi projects brewing, which is extremely impressive. But I love that you also know who you are, what you want to do, what you gravitate toward, and you just move in that direction.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I feel very blessed to have kind of been pointed down this path. I think the Mystique cosplay definitely opened a lot of doors that I may not have had access to before, but because I had that in my resume in my past, I think that it kind of naturally opened those doors, and I've loved walking through them. And it's a blast. It's a blast. So,
well said. And where, Juliet, can people find you? Where, if you want to be found, what is your social media, your website, anything you want to plug? Feel free to do that.
Awesome. You can find me at Juliet Chevelle pretty much everywhere: Facebook, Instagram, online, Linktree, all of that. Just my name.
That's perfect. And if there's any casting directors, any producers out there, if she, takes a little while to get back to you, it's because she's extremely busy and she's extremely talented. So don't take that personally. But I am telling you, if you're in the casting business and you're listening to this right now, look her up and watch her, and you will see what the hype is about, because I'm telling you, she's the real deal. I'm letting you know that too, Juliet. I'm letting you know you're the real deal.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. And my final question to you is, will you please come back so we can continue to track your journey, because it is fully lit. So you're just going to continue to go up, 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 up.
Absolutely. It was a joy and a pleasure to talk with you today, Brian. I thank you for reaching out and for all that you do. And you're just so positive and such an encouraging energy in person. And so I do appreciate it. It means a lot for you to reach out and have me on.
Well, that sincerely means a lot to me. And I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, just to hold on so I can thank you off air for doing this. And I am so excited. Again, please, if you're listening right now, go check Nova out. Check her other projects out. You will not be disappointed. This is Brian Hobson for the amazing Juliet Chevelle. We'll see you next week.